Gugliese. Mm-hmm. Il Gugliese, il Bianza.
Abbiamo io in Israele, ma poi abbiamo Valve con questo
manzello. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, our topic for tonight is the beginning of this week's parsha. And the beginning of the parsha introduces an isur that's very much not nogea, unfortunately, l'maisa, but that prohibition we're going to argue tonight has another side to it, which has important basic halacha lemaisa and lamnisha implications, as well as hopefully a musar, and that is the isra of kriya for a kohen gadol. The pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Perachof Aleph, pasuk Hey lo yikruchu karcha berosham, fasik hanam lo yigalechu b'saram lo yisutu sirates. That's the prohibition of scratching themselves. And then the pasuk also tells us that there's a prohibition as well for them to do fria and prima. The pasuk continues in pasuk yud, Va'kohen ha'gadol me'achav asher yitzak al rosho, shem ha'mishkel mile yitzidol l'boshes ha'gadol, es rosho l'yifrof gadol lo yifrom. So there's an iser for the kohen gadol to tear his begadim, and he's not allowed to let his hair grow. This is a prohibition of the kohen gadol. The Rambam has a very striking lashon, where the Rambam says that the kohen gadol, after all, is always in the Migdash. In Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Hilchos Bias HaMigdash, Sherei Tamid Hu BeMigdash. Kohen gadol is also legadea pera legra begadav l'olam. He's never allowed to tear his begadim. Sherei Tamid Hu BeMigdash. Ulekach Nemar Bo Es Rosho LeYifrov Gadav LoYifrov. The kohen is not always in the Migdash. For some reason, the Rambam says that the Kohen is always in the Migdash. It sounds like it was once a Rosh Yeshiva that left his yeshiva. So he said, where I go, that's where the yeshiva goes. Wherever he goes. So Lahavdil Alf Alfi Avdalah, so the Kohen Gadol the same thing. The Kohen Gadol also represents the Migdash. So the Isur is an Isur of Kriya in the Migdash. But the Kohen Gadol, the Rambam, Hilchos Bias Migdash, and Perik Aleph, Halacha Yud, so there the Rambam brings out the idea that it applies all times, but it's actually a halacha in the Migdash itself. There is a problem in the Rambam's psak. In Hilchas Klei HaMigdash, Perek Hey, Halacha Vav, where the Rambam originally had said that in the Migdash, the Kohen is supposed to present a certain way, and he represents the Migdash wherever he goes. The Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Vav of Klei HaMikdash, not Bias HaMikdash, the Rambam writes that this is Surveinu Kerei Al-Motzah Kishar Kohanim, Shenemar Uvgadav Al-Yifram Vimkara Loke. The halacha is that if the Kohen Gadol is over the Yisur, then he gets Malkus. Okay, not bad. That seems to be pretty straightforward. He did Kriya, so therefore the halacha should be that he should get Malkus. The problem is that the Rambam in other places seems to indicate, and if you would ask me, based on the Rambam that we had said in Perek Aleph, that we had mentioned in Hilchas Bias HaMikdash, the Rambam seems to say that the Isur is an Isur of wearing a Beged Karua. So how can it be that the Rambam says that the halacha is that you get Malkus? In general, if the halacha is, like L'mashal, when it comes to being over the Isur of Lo Yiro Fanai Reikam, that's a lav shein b'maisa, according to the Rambam, because you're in the Migdash and you don't have the carbon with you. So over here, the Kohen's in the Migdash, And he's wearing a Bege Karua. So how come the Rambam says in Perek Hey of Hilchas Klei HaMikdash that the halacha is that he's going to be Chayiv Malkus? After all, isn't it a lav Shein B'Maisa? So what's the Mahalach? The Rav said a beautiful Mahalach, a standard Mahalach. And he said there's Tzvei Dinim of the Isser for a Kohen Gadol to be Korea. There's the Isser of the Kohen Gadol to do a Maisa Kriya. And then there's also the Isser, as we had said, for him to wear, as representative of the Mikdash, tattered clothing. There's two components to the Isser. So therefore, when the Rambam says, Yechayiv Malkus Einachanami, it's not by a Kohen who walks into the Mikdash, a Kohen Gadol, that walks into the Mikdash Bebega Karua. But rather we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that walks in and does a Maisa Kriya. For that, the Rambam says that there's going to be a Chiyuv of Malkus. One could suggest, Al Pi Machshava, just one of our passions is to take Brisker Torah and to show that Brisker Torah has corollaries in Machshava as well. What does the Kohen Gadol represent? The Kohen Gadol represents Shlemus. He's Oiv Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. That's the essence of what Aaron HaKohen and Bonav represent. If that's what Aaron HaKohen and Bonav represent, so then the Maisa Kriya of the Kohen Gadol is shattering that idea. So how? Well, number one, the act of tearing. The act of tearing is the act of separating. It's breaking apart something that's shalom. The act of being Korea Beged is breaking apart something that's shalom. The Kohen Gadol, aside from representing shalom in terms of Maisa, he also represents Shlemus in terms of the Mikdash. He represents the dignity of the Mikdash. And that is the Isser B'Shev Al-Tasa. So there's the Isser of B'Shev Al-Tasa for here to wear a Beged Karua. And then there's an Isser Mais as well. There are two separate Isserim, even though the Pasuk only has one. So you have to go in the Rambams. And you see, once you look in the Rambams, you see that there are two different components to the Isser. Okay, so this is some of the basic outline in the Lumbus of the Isser of the Kriya by Kohen Gadol. Now what is striking is that this Isser is mentioned somewhere else. Where do we have this Isser of Kriya B'Kohen Gadol? It's in a story. It's in the Maisa of Nadav and Avihu. And Moshe tells Aaron the same thing. Moshe tells Aaron, make sure that your begadim are not torn, and make sure to let your hair grow. Chazal darshan that pasuk. And Chazal say that based on the pasuk we see that there is an Isser dafka for the Kohen Gadol, but there is a chiyuv on everybody else. In Shmini, Perek Yud, pasuk Bav, Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron u'Lazar l'Samar banav, Rosheichem al tifro, Figdeichem lo sifrom u'lo samusu, V'al kol ha'edo yiktzo. So Rashi over there quotes all the Gemaras. The third Perek of Moikatan is full of drashos from these psukim. These psukim indicate that we see from here that everybody else who's an Avel has these chiyuv, and mikan, there's an isur to be, there is a chiyuv, excuse me, for the an individual to be korea. The Ramban, in his Perush al HaTorah, on this pasuk in Parsha Shmini, said that even though the Gemara darshan of the pasuk, it's only a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'oraisa. Okay, so ayotze midvareinu, that really the isur kriya by Kohen Gadol has another side to it. It's not only the isur kriya of a Kohen Gadol, but there also is the mitzvah of kriya for all olavenu. The Ramban says that that mitzvah is not a din d'oraisa. The mitzvah is a d'rabban, a Ramban ala Torah here in Parsha Shmini. But nevertheless, it's an asmachta that's learned out from this psukim. I leave off with a parenthetical tzarachiyun. It just struck me now, today, that it's very strange that Chazal go like Chazal darshan the psukim in a sort of a backhanded way. If you had asked me, I would have thought that the source should not be the story. It should be the tzivui of Emor. Yet for some reason, Chazal darshan the psukim in Parsha Shmini by the story of Nadav and Avihu, the third parak of Malikatan is full of drashos from Parsha Shmini, not from Parsha Senmar. I would have thought that you should go for Parsha Senmar, which is a tzivui itself. I didn't see anybody stop at this question. But we have the Shitas HaRamban that says that it's a Din D'Rabban. Comes along the Torah Tumimah, and the Torah Tumimah asks an interesting kasha on the Ramban. Torah Tumimah says, wait a second, you Ramban understand that the mitzvah is only D'Rabban and the pasuk is only an asmachta, as Ramban al-Torah says? So if that's so, How could you have a din derabbanan? It's bal tashas. How could you have a mitzvah of kriya, which is to destroy the garment? At the end of the day, there's mitzvah d'oraisa bal tashas. Says the Torah Tmima, Elamai, you must say. Another obvious teretz. We have to build the obvious and then get to the less obvious. Says the Torah Tmima, I'll tell you, the answer must be that when it comes to kriya, kriya is not simply destructive. Kriya itself can be productive. We all know the Gemara in Shabbos that describes about being mekalkel in order to be mesakein. Says the Torah Tmima, the same will apply also for the kriya of an avel, that it is actually a tikkun. So Rabosai, what emerges then? What emerges is, according to the Ramban, you must say that kriya itself, the maisa kriya, is a tikkun. Because if the maisa kriya is not a tikkun, so then, by definition, then the kriya would not be mutter, because you'd be over the iser of bal tashkis. Yes?
Don't we have a din that korea on Shabbos is high because you're fulfilling the whatever mitzvah kriya there is?
So then,
it shows you that once there's a mitzvah, it's not bal tashkis anymore. So the rabbanon.
I mean, what are you going to do with that Mishnah in Shabbos?
Is that where it is?
Yeah, that Mishnah in Shabbos. So we'll come back to, I don't know if we're going to answer it directly, but I'm going to come back to Blina to that.
Did that mean all kriyas are in the Ramban?
The Ramban says that the Soloveitchik Tainit, that even the Ramban agreed that the Chetzah Shal Kriya is a Din D'Oraisa. Whatever that means. But the Ramban himself says black on white, the Ramban says that black on white, that Kriya is only Nasnafta. Yeah, Ramban Alato. Maybe we'll get back to the Mishnah, and we'll see. I don't know if we'll answer it directly, but maybe in a roundabout way. Rabosai, this Yisod seems to be Emes L'Amito, and that is the only way you could understand the mitzvah of Kriya getting around Baal Tashkis, is that there's a kiyum in the Kriya itself. Let me explain what I mean. If you held that the mitzvah de Rabbanan was to wear a Beged Karua, that the Rabbanan said you have to wear a Beged Karua, so then you wouldn't be allowed to tear a beged in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of wearing a beged karua, because it's only a din derabbanan. So here's the chakira. We had before kriya b'kohen gadol, what's the yisur? Is the yisur a maisa yisur, or is it to wear a beged karua? So when it comes to kriya b'kohen gadol, we say the answer is both, right? Like the famous joke that we've said in the past, that the two baladin that come to the Rav, and one presents his side, and the Rav looks at him and he says, you're right. And the other one presents his side. It's not the mother-in-law joke. And the other one looks to his side, and he says, you're right. So then the Rebbetzin screams out from the kitchen, and says, how could the Beit Ha'ol be right? He says, you're right too. So when it comes to Kriya B'Kohen Gadol, both are right. There's a Maisa Isser Kriya, and also there's an Isser to wear Beged Karua. When it comes to Avel, for sure, we've set down that there is a din of a Maisa Kriya, that's a kium. Otherwise, according to the Ramban, it would not make sense how we get around the Isser of Baal Tashkis. Based on this, the Torah Tmima goes a step further. Torah Tmima is a beautiful sefer, it's not used enough. The Torah Tmima on the Pesukim in Parsha Shmini, he says what the Minchas Chinuch and all the Achrayim and the complicated Rei discussed, the Torah Tmima says it very simple, very pashut. He says, based on this, I can answer the Ritva's kasha. The Ritva asks a kasha on the Gemara, on that Tesva Bamed Aleph Imoi Katan, where the Gemara says, what's the makar that there's an Isser Kriya? And the Gemara on the bottom of Tesva Bamed Aleph says, I'll tell you, our pasuk that we just read, the Karmelu Rachmanu L'Bnei Aaron Losef Romu, Mechlau D'Kuli Alma Mechayimu. Then the Gemara continues, a line later, Mitzora ma'u b'kriya. And what's the halacha about mitzora by kriya? Where do we see mitzora needs require a kriya? Toshma. I'll quote you another pasuk in Vayikra. Vayikra Yudgimel. Begad of you freumen. His begadim should be torn. What? Ask the Ritva. What is the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara just the three words before said that when it comes to an avel, we know that there's a chiyuv for an avel to do kriya because of those words, lo sifromu. So of course we know mitzora. Mitzora we know from those same words, because of yufurumin. So asks the Ritva, What was the Hava Amina of the Gemara? And the Ritva does somersaults trying to answer what the Hemshech HaGemara is. Says the Torah to me, but if you accept our Lamdus, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Kriya, it's not to wear a Bege Karua, but rather the mitzvah of Kriya is to do the Maisa Kriya, so then I can read the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, what's the Makar for Kriya? So it says, Lo Sifromu. Aaron HaKohen is not allowed to tear his beged. You, Klal Yisrael, Avelus, there's a chiyuv to tear. Asks the Gemara, Mitzora, Mahu B'Kriya? For Mitzora, what's the halacha B'Kriya? Does Mitzora have the chiyuv to kum v'aseh to do Kriya? Or is it B'Shev Al Pasa? Toshma, the god of Yufrumim. His beged is supposed to be torn. And this idea is the following. That when it comes to Mitzora, Mitzora doesn't have the chiyuv b'kum v'aseh. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says, b'gadov yufrumim, that the end result is that the beged is supposed to be torn. He's supposed to wear a torn beged, but there's no chiyuv for him b'kum v'aseh to wear a beged. And it turns out that this cartoon was mechavin to a minchas chinuch. The minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf ayin aleph says that Mitzora, in contrast to an Avel, does not have to do a Maisa Kriya, but rather a Mitzora has to wear a Bega Karua. What would be the Hezber? Why would there be a difference between the two? Outside of the Minchas Chinuch's rise, the Hezber is the following. There's something about, which we have to get to in Machshava as well, there's something about the Maisa Kriya of Avelus, that is, number one, a stira to a Kohen Gadol, and also is necessary in the component of Avelus, the Maisa Kriya. Mitzora, it's not the Maisa Kriya that's necessary, but rather when it comes to Mitzora, what's critical is for him to show that he is b'nidui, that he is outside of the community, that he is torn, he is spiritually torn. So it's not the Maisa Kriya that's necessary. It is the result of wearing a Beged Karua. So this answers the Kasha of the Ritva. Just to expand a little bit more on this idea, the Gemara in Moed Katan on Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, the Gemara in Moed Katan says, quotes the sheet of Shmuel, which Tosis has a hard time with. The Gemara says, Kol kera she'eno b'shas chimum eno kera. And here the Gemara is already getting to the root of the chashivas of the Maisa Kriya. And the Gemara says that any time an Avel tears, when it's not B'Shas Chimum, Rashi's Lashon, Hezber of B'Shas Chimum is B'Shas Haskholas HaTzar, in the beginning of the Tzar, B'Shas Misa, that's not considered a Kriya. So a Kriya has to be done B'Shas Chimum. Comes along Tosos, in Dibra Maskel L'Chol Kera, Nira, the Hada Amar Le'il Mishin is Dan Elo Chaluk B'Sov Zayin, Afal B'Shen Shas Chimum, ask Tosus the following kasha. Wait a second. The Gemara early in Chaf Amabeis says if somebody gets a beged during Avelus, during Shiva, he needs to tear Kriya on the beged. Tosus assumes it's not always B'Shas Chimum. It's not the same moment of poignancy of when he lost the relative. So Tosus says, why is it that he tears Kriya if the Gemara before him says, Kol Karashen B'Shas Chimum? Answers Tosus, Shema dafke kigon shekara kvar, v'hocha mairi b'shelo kara adayim. Inami kigon she'ein lo chaluk b'shar rishonu. Says Tosos, we'll deal with Tosos' first heresy. Tosos says, he already tore. So if he already tore b'shas chimum, he was yotze. But now he's getting a new beged, he's putting on a new beged. Says Tosos, you need to tear again. Oh. So what do we see according to Tosos, at least according to the Bavli? What we see is that there's Tzvei Dinim in Kriya. There's one din of Kriya that you want tears, B'Shas Chimum. And then there's another din of Kriya, and that is to wear a Beged Karua during the Shiva. I'd like to be Mosif, that I think that these two Dinim are really a reflection of the Makar Hadavar, and that is the Issa Kriya B'Kohen Gadol. And that when it comes to Kriya B'Kohen Gadol, we proved, according to the Rambam, that number one, there is in Maisa Isra Priya. And number two, it's to wear a Beged Karua. So too, when it comes to an Avel also has both dinim. The Avel has the din to be Korea B'Shas Timum. And then there's a separate halacha, and that is his identity of being an Avel mandates that he wears a Beged Karua. So Chazal darshan like this. They darshan the pasuk a little bit crooked, that we learn the chiyuv of kriya by an adult from the isra of kriya by a kohen gadol, but actually they mamish reflect the halachos of kriya by an adult, mamish reflect the halachos of isra kriya by kohen gadol. Yes, Adam.
Perhaps the greatest raya is from Mordechai.
Yeah, go ahead. So we're coming to emphasize that there are two components of it. Wasn't just the Maisa Kriya. The Maisa Kriya is the B'Shas Sakhimu. And Vayil Bashak shows us another din. Very nice.
Would that question on if you're changing the Gadim the second time to Kriya, that should have an issue about Tashkas, because you're not being kind of the Maisa, the Mitzvah of Maisa Kriya.
So that ain't a phenomenon. According to the Mahal that the Torah Tzmim was developing, so then the second din of not being Korea B'Shas Timum, that might be considered Baal Tashkas. The Torah Tzmim is going to say that's not enough just to say that you're being Mekayim a mitzvah, because that mitzvah is the Rabbanon, the Yisra of Baal Tashkas. So Rechiyun, according to that kasha that the Torah Tzmim had asked according to Ramban to prove that it's only the Maisa Kriya, so it seems from Tosos that it's not that way. There is a very, very powerful halacha that brings out this din, which not everybody is aware of. When you do the bechina for Avelos, then it probably comes up. And that is, in Hilchos Kriya, in Shin Mem, I believe, in Sif Choftes, the Mechaber says, it's based on Gemara, Chavav and Moi Katan, the Mechaber says, Achas v'chalila, one of the most poignant parts of Jewish ritual, is God forbid if a child loses a parent, or a child loses one of the Shiva Krovin, so that you tear the beged of the child. In Pnei Agnas Nefesh. The Pashtus of the Gemara is that we're talking about even a child is not Bar Chinuch. It's not necessarily Kim and Chinuch. Pnei Agnas Nefesh. In other words, the matzav of seeing, if you ever, God forbid, have to go visit a friend who's sitting Shiva, there's something, as much as you expected it, but the moment when you see that Beged Karua, there's something extremely jarring. And of course, if it's on a little child, then a child doesn't deserve to have that, especially if the child doesn't even understand what it's wearing. So that Bechina brings out the idea that there is a Kiyum in Avelus that's unrelated to this din of Kriya B'Shas Achimu. Earlier today, I had a kasha on this whole Mahalach. And my kasha was in Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that's well known. And this Yerushalmi relates to the Mishnah that Gil mentioned. I don't know if we're going to address directly, but the Yerushalmi says the following. Yerushalmi asks, what's the difference between the Mishnah that says that someone who tears on Shabbos is mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya, he doesn't need to tear a new beged, versus Matzah Gezula, a very famous Yerushalmi, Perek HaOreg. And Matzah Gezula, that if someone steals matzah and he eats it, that's a mitzvah Abav Aver. Why isn't Kriya on Shabbos also a mitzvah Abav Aver? And the Yerushalmi gives an answer, which according to most Mefarshim means to say as follows. When it comes to matzah, so there the matzah is the mitzvah, and the gzela, the king in gzela, was in the matzah. Gufan hava aver, as the Yerushalmi says. The guf of the matzah is both the mitzvah and the aver. However, over here, says the Yerushalmi, when it comes to Kriya, so Kriya, the maisa of Kriya, the avera, carrying on Shabbos, has nothing to do with the mitzvah of an avel wearing a beged karua. So what do we see mefurish from the Yerushalmi? We see mefurish from the Yerushalmi. I don't know how the Torah Tzmim is going to answer about Pashas Kasha, but what we see mefurish from the Yerushalmi is that the Yerushalmi holds that the halacha is that Kriya is a din in wearing a beged karua. says Beferish, black on white, the Yerushalmi says that there isn't a kiyum in the Maisa Kriya. So what we thought from the Lashon al Gemara in Moed Katan Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that there's a din of Bishas Fimum, and what the Torah Tumima suggested to answer to be Miyashe the Kasha the Ritva and Mitzvah Sfinuch's Diyuk in the difference between the Halacha Mitzayra and the Halacha of Avel, the Chura the Yerushalmi is against him. That's how I left it off with the Talmudim earlier today. But as I was sitting in the Gross Base Medrash, I realized that it could be that the Yerushalmi and the Vavli Lishitasim had. Yerushalmi is of the opinion that if somebody, God forbid, someone loses a second relative during Shiva, Yerushalmi says that he keeps the Kriya, whatever he tore, that stays with him. It's brought down in the Gra in Simin Shin Aina He, Sivkotan Chaf Aleph, which comes from Mordecai. Yerushalmi is quoting Mordecai in Tuf Tuf Kuf Chaf Aleph in Mordecai. Yerushalmi is of the opinion that if you have someone who lost a second relative, Chas V'Chalila, within Shiva, he doesn't make a new, he doesn't do a new Maisa Kriya. However, the Bavli is beferish not that way. The Bavli and Daf Chav Vav on the base, it's quite clear that if someone has another Nifter that passed away during Shiva, at some point, there's a discussion in the Bavli exactly when, but at some point he has to be Mosif to the Kriya, he has to do another Kriya. What's that Machlokes? But one could say, and this is how the Rav suggested, the machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is the following. The Bavli is of the opinion that the kiyum of Kriya is the Maisa Kriya. You need to do a Maisa Kriya. And therefore, if he did Kriya on relative Aleph, but he didn't do Kriya on relative Beis, he's not Mekayim the Maisa Kriya, the mitzvah of Kriya. He has to do a separate Maisa Kriya. However, according to the Yerushalmi, the kiyum of Kriya is wearing a Beged Karua. So it struck me that the Yerushalmi, again, this is only 5 hours old, so it needs a little bit more research, but it could very well be that the Yerushalmi is Lishitasa. So all the Mahalchim that we had above, where we thought that the Tzvedinim in Kriya, so that's working within the Bavli. The Baal Tashlis problem, and there's another answer out there to the Baal Tashlis problem. But we believe that according to the Bavli, there's Tzvedinim in Kriya, and it could very well possibly be that the Yerushalmi went with the Mahalach that the Kiyum is to wear a Beged Karua. Just want to point out, nothing fancy, just La Halacha. I've always wondered, this is as Shmuel says in the Gemara Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Kriya is an experience of Shas Timu. Kriya is an experience of the passion, we need to be magged there a little bit more what that passion is, the heat of the moment of that sense of loss. So I always wondered why it had become formalized. And it could very well be Kakdarko Shelanoshim, that everything in Halacha that's supposed to be spontaneous, eventually over time, because the Amon Am is sometimes not sensitive to the nuance of Halacha, it becomes ceremonious. So when it comes to Kriya, the Minag has become that people do Kriya as part of the ceremony of the funeral. The rabbi does Kriya for them. There's halacha that someone else is supposed to start, and the rabbi does the Kriya for them. It always struck me as where did that come from? Shmuel describes it as Bishas Chimu. So the Gesher, I finally found that the Gesher HaChaim is bothered by that question. The Gesher HaChaim in Perek Dalet, Sivkot and Vav, he says, Umidina tzurichim l'tvol l'varech miyad, sh'roh shomei ha-misa. And that's what Rashi said, at manish l'shas misa. V'chakarti v'sha'alti al mekor shemin egzeh. He says, I don't know where this minute came from to tear Kriya at the time of the Levaya. V'lo shamati pitron yisodi. And I never got a really good explanation. V'amarnu al zeh atanim halalu. But they told me a few reasons, and Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky records the reasons. All of them are not so thrilling. Number one, yitake mishum shelo hakol b'kiyum b'dinei Kriya. Many people are not baking the halachos of Kriya, and therefore they wait for the Rav to do it. Beis, Odev Shalomer Gamitam Shechafetzim Shachem Yaskilu B'Kriyas Beged O'Avim. There's a card that you're supposed to have someone else, so they're waiting for someone else to start it. But you can have someone else who's around. It doesn't have to be at the time of the Levaya. Number three, Odev Shalomer Mishum She'oz Bizman Otzah Sameis Kvar Nis Kabtzu Kol O'Avim Shem B'Makom. that the family is not together. Why does the family have together to be together at that moment? Only at the, those are the three reasons. Now, these three reasons are quoted in the Sefer. It's a very nice Sefer we've mentioned in the past, the best, one of the best liquid swarm today, by the fellow from the Gush, Yisod, Yisod HaLacha. So Sefer Yisod HaLacha quotes the Gesher HaChaim, and he quotes it. The Gesher HaChaim says that the minhag is to do it by the funeral. But if you turn one page later in the Gesher HaChaim, that's not what he says. That's what he starts out and saying that's the minhag. But if you turn one page later in the Gesher HaChaim, that's not how he concludes. Aval Talmidei Chacham Mitzuyim B'Torah, or the muchzik la'adam kasha mitzuyim, nolagin rubam l'kayim din kriya, kishomnim b'shas yitzias ha'neshama. That the kriya should be done, chas v'chalila, at the time of yitzias ha'neshama. That's the shas ha'chimum, that absolute sense of despondence and loss. So the Sfaradim even do it later. The Sfaradim do it by Sudas Havra. That's what the Yalkut Yosef says, to do it at the Sudas Havra. But the Pashtus of the Gemara is not that way. The Pashtus of the Gemara is to do it at the Shas Yitzias Neshama. I think there is a very powerful lesson that comes out of these components of Kriya. I was at a Levaya, and Rabbanim were Masvid, a Rav who himself was very influential in Tzarchei Kehillah, Tzarchei Klal Yisrael, and there were a big Rabbanim who got up and spoke about the Niftar. And finally, his son, who's a mamshif of his father's work in Tzarchei HaKlal, got up. And he spoke about his father's role rebuilding the Kehillos of Europe after the Holocaust. And he spoke about that for a while. And last words, before he finished speaking, he started to ask Mechila. But most people, when they ask Mechila, I apologize for anything that I did wrong to you. And what is the most poignant part of the conclusion of the Hasid, right before they took the Niftar out, was he said, "Daddy, I apologize that when you called me on the cell phone, I didn't have time to speak." Kriya b'shas chimum, for different people, could be different things. This Hagdara, that Kriya is not only to wear Bega Karua, but Kriya B'Shas Chimum could mean different things. We all know that when Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers, the Baalei Musar point out that Yosef HaTzadik says two things. Ani Yosef, Oda Vichai. Says Rashi, O Lanu Liyom Adin, O Lanu Yom HaTalchacha. Baalei Musar point out that O Lanu Liyom Adin is ascribed to Ani Yosef. Oda Vichai is O Lanu Liyom HaTalchacha. What does that mean? Yosef, number one, says, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. Everything you've done wrong to me, I now have the koach to judge you. And the pachad of din after Me'av Esrim is a tremendous, tremendous pachad. But olanu liyom ha-tochacha, that's nothing compared to the tochacha. Yosef is saying, Ani Yosef ha-od avichai. Is my father still alive? What happened to all the times that you didn't care about how our father felt? You say, don't send Binyamin back? Then my father shouldn't be alive. I'm Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef, Oda Vichai. That's the Tochacha. The Shas of Yitzias Neshama. And Rabosai, you know, some people don't learn Hilchos Avelus. I very much am empathetic to the Mahalach of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan to learn Hilchos Avelus, because it gets us to, if we, obviously, if we learn it like people, like cold robots, so you just know the halachas. But if you just open up your heart a little, you see that behind those halachas are very, very powerful, very, very powerful message. And that Shas Achimo, Shas Kriya, could be the pain of din, but it could also be a very, very, very powerful tochacha. And we don't make a bracha of Baruch Mochiach. We don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Tochacha. We thank a Mochiach HaEmes. Rather, the bracha is Dayon HaEmes. A real Oved Hashem who excels in Bein Adon L'Makom, Bein Adon L'Chavero. So then the Shas HaModas Yitzias Neshama, the Shas of Kriya, is the tremendous pain of Din, but not Tochacha. But God forbid And it's so easy for us to take for granted those dear relationships that we have, that at the Shas Yitzias Neshama, the Shas Chimum, is not just that pain of din, but also it's a tremendous rebuke. That moment one realizes that we can never go back in that relationship. That whatever was in that relationship is frozen in time. That's a tremendous, tremendous tokacha. Daddy, I'm sorry that when you called on the cell phone, that I was too busy to talk. At that moment, the Yitzias Neshama was too late. And that kriya is not only a kriya of chimum, of sense of din, but also that moment is also a tremendous amount of anger and frustration. And that's why Chazal sometimes equate the kriya of ptira to kriya of kas. Because there's a component of kas that is the absolute frustration that I failed in this relationship. I always wondered, what was pshat? They always say over the story, Shalom Bayis, the classic story which no one could understand. Now that's a story where Shlomo Zalman got up at the Levi, where Shlomo Zalman said that the minhag is to what? Ask the Niftar Mechila, but he has nothing to ask his wife Mechila. So why did Shlomo Zalman say it? Shlomo Zalman, the anilus that Shlomo Zalman had is mind-boggling. I was just reading one of the biographies of Shlomo Zalman that he called up in Houston in the beginning, I guess in the 70s and 80s, where they used to write in the Posek Hador in a newspaper article. Shlomo Zalman used to get the writer's name, would call him up and would tell him, beg him, he said, you're being the katzer my life. You're shortening my life when you write Posek Hador. This is Shlomo Zalman, who ran away from all types of kavod whatsoever. So why did he get up at the Levi and say, so I think the answer is pashut. That one of the roles of a hesped is for a person to make a cheshbon nefesh, an honest cheshbon nefesh of his relationship with the niftar. Is it a kabbalah of dynamis, or is it also a tremendous pain of the failed components of the relationship? And I think it was just out of pure passion, the shas chimum of that moment, where Shlomo Zalman was making that cheshbon nefesh. And that's what came out at that particular moment. Derech Agav, it's interesting that we're zochet to see Rav Shlomo Zalman's chavrusa in Evansal. So I usually am zochet to spend time with Rav Evansal. Sometimes I go to visit him when we're Ola Regal to Yerushalayim. So Yod said both dinim of being Ola Regal to the Kaisel, for those who say that you can be kind Ola Regal Mikdash, and I also go to my Rebbe then as well. So that's actually one of the highlights of our family. They take us in so graciously and so on. So this Pesach, I was extremely disappointed. The family was very much disappointed. And then I was giving a shir the day we were going in. We couldn't get to go in. So Rav Chizkiya and then Sal told me, but if you go to Ramban at 1:30, so then you'll catch him there. Okay, so I went to Ramban at 1:30. He wasn't there. So Rav Chizkiya said that night, he and his mother were talking. She said, you don't realize, why were you being matriach then? You didn't realize that Daddy sometimes goes to the Kotel to daven mincha during Yom Tov. He doesn't always go to Ramban 1:30. General Rav Nevin Sal daven's Ramban 1:30. He doesn't go to Ramban 1:30. Okay, so I went to the Kotel to daven. My son regretted it. He didn't come with me to the Kotel. He didn't come with me to mincha. So I went to the Kotel for mincha. My wife was playing with the kids in the yeshiva in the old city, and I look up after davening. And Rav Nevin Sal standing right there. Wow, what's the after the Shemayim? Okay, so I saw him, went over, I asked him a few questions, and he started walking away. And I kept on walking with him. Every moment with him is precious. So I kept on walking with him, and he said to me, where are you going? So I said to him, I figured I would walk Rebbe home. Now, Rav Chizkiya told me that he told me, if you want, you could come after Mincha, but you should know that my father generally rests during that time. So he said to me, you're coming to my house? Are you coming with me to the house? I said, no, I'm going to walk Rebbe until his house, and then he could go upstairs. So he said, then stop right here. And stop. And he said, he sort of pushed himself away, and he started walking away on his own. So I was a little taken aback. I have to admit that to a point that I was almost like a little bit painful. My Rebbe pushed me away. Okay. That was what happened. So I told this to Reb Chizki afterwards. Reb Chizki says, I want to tell you the story. I said, what pshat? He didn't even let me walk into his house. And actually, you'll notice, I don't know, after Kiddush, he walks back with people. He lets people walk him back. Reb Nevinson?
Yeah. Does it? Everyone walks in a huge group.
Oh, you mean, wait, after Kiddush?
No, I'm sorry, before Kiddush.
Yeah, before Kiddush.
I've never been there for Kiddush.
Yeah,
they walk with me. So that's a kash, it's a pirch on what Reb Chizki told me, but here's what Reb Chizki told me. Reb Chizki said that last year Reb Nevinson fell a couple times while he was walking. And Reb Bina called Reb Chizki in and he said, I am going to provide someone to be Malacha Reb Nevinson every second of the day. I'm going to find that there's going to be someone to walk in. So Reb Chizki went back to his father and he told him he's going to have a personal escort with him at every moment. Reb Nevinson said, absolutely not. And his Lashon was the same Lashon that Ephraim Shlomo Zalman. And he said to him, but Daddy, you fell. He said, you think falling is dangerous? He said, if you give me a malave, you're being mekatzer my chayim. That's what Chizki said. You're cutting down my life. And Chizki said that Nevinson takes it, that Levi is a maisa kavod. The only kasha is after that.
No,
I don't.
The reason he asks if you're coming in, because if he can feed you, so then that's part of Achnas Zorkin.
Right. So he's being a kind of Achnas Zorkin by bringing people back for Kiddush. Probably. You have to put that back with Dovi's point also about that. Somebody wanted to be Mevatel the Kiddush, or Mem himself didn't want to, outside Achnas Zorkin. So, at the end of the day, this notion of being Boreach Me'akavot to the point that Mekatzer Chayek, that Levi Mamisha is cutting down his life, is something that is extremely powerful. Why I'm saying this all again, to bring out that point of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman wasn't just saying it outside. So someone who reacts in such a way, we're uncomfortable, someone gives us cover, fine. But to the point, if he said that, he meant that. And that's something that's very powerful. So why did Shlomo Zalman blurt that out? The reason why Shlomo Zalman blurted it out is because he was at that point making that cheshbon. At the time of the Ptira is a tremendous time of cheshbon. Now Rabosai, now's the time to make the cheshbon and nefesh. Be'ezer Hashem. When we have many, many more healthy years with our parents. Many, many more healthy years with our siblings. Many more healthy years with our wives. Now's the time not to allow that the relationship should be missed opportunities. Klal Yisrael, in Shmos and Lama Gimel, when they find out that after they've been complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So there, Klal Yisrael cries, and Lashon Avayi Sabalu. And Rav Avram Willard pointed out that what's the Lashon of Avelus? The Lashon of Avelus is the sense, Avelus is not just mourning, but the realization of a missed opportunity. We were the Dara Midbar that was marching into Eretz Yisrael, and we lost it. Esav cries because Esav realized a tremendous loss of opportunity. And that's the Shas Achim. That's a tremendous Shas Achim where a person realizes that that potential in the relationship is now gone. And it is broken and can never be fixed. And something for us to make a cheshbon with our parents, with our Rabbeim. I think I've mentioned to you in the past that there were times looking back that in YU that I didn't take advantage enough of my relationship with my Rabbein. And if a person zocha to want to have a skarvus with a Rebbe, he has to actively go and chase after it. And the little kesha that I have with Rebbein Zal only came about because I realized that this is an opportunity to have a yachas, and a person has to take that opportunity. Can't allow things to be fall into the category of wasted opportunities. And finally, in terms of one's wife, these psukim are very powerful. The halacha is a kohen is allowed to be metame to shiva krovim, except for his sister once she gets married. A wife, aside from a relationship with her father, only has a relationship with one man. A man could have relationships with different women, but a woman could only have a relationship with, aside from her father, with her husband. In other words, one's wife is entirely invested in you. And the reason why the husband, why Rav Shlomo Zalman has to make such a cheshbon before he buries his wife, is because her entire relationship, her entire sense of being, is dependent on how her husband treats her. It's a very, very powerful hischaivus that it could be that when we're going to be 120 and burying our wife is going to be burying us, or we're going to be burying her, what's going to be that sense afterwards? Were there so many things that I missed? Did I maximize that relationship? And the schaivus that we have to her is so, so, so powerful, because ultimately her only close male relationship outside of her father is her husband. Her brothers fall away. The brothers only matana when she's a psula. When she gets married, it's lost. One of the most powerful moments I ever had in Purim was a moment, Ben knows this young Bani Mechanech, Rav Nathan Schwartz, once on Purim, got up while the boys were drunk during the Seuda, and he said to the boys that he thinks that now dafka is a time to bring out the Hakar Satov that you have for your parents. There are so many things, he said, that you might want to say to your parents that you've never said. Especially, he was talking to boys in Shana Aleph who are now changed, going through a process of getting out of all their craziness in high school. He says, now is the opportunity to express yourself to your parents. In a way, it's so beautiful. And he said, he told the Talmidim that for him, the first time he ever really expressed his Hakar Satov to his parents was when he was on Purim, he called them after Seuda. So he recommended to the Talmidim, and many Talmidim told me that they've done that, and it's been very meaningful. Barbosa, isn't it a tragedy that you need the intoxication of Purim to bring that out? It's a tragedy. There's no halacha that says that Hakar Satov to parents is dafka in Purim. Baruch Hashem, we have Purim. Baruch Hashem, we have Mechanchim that remind the Talmidim, at least at that moment, where their inhibitions are down. The expression of Hakar Satov is so, so, so important. And the expression of Yachas, that we shouldn't feel at the moment, the Shas Achimim. And some of the reasons that people don't talk about that moment of Yitzias Neshama, is that it's morbid. It's not a morbid moment, it's a holy moment. The Ramban says the reason why we cry is because when we leave our parents, when we go from Israel to America, America to Israel, we leave parents and we know we're not going to see them for a long time. So the Ramban says, so we cry. The Ramban says the same thing. When the neshama leaves us, one day we're going to join the neshama again. So the crying is that sense of loss. Below Yisrutu Saratas, at the same time the Ramban says, the same, ultimately we're going to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is that sense of loss. It's not a morbid bechina. It's a sense of distance, a sense of rikuk, that once again we're going to maintain that sense of closeness. It could be a very lofty moment, that Shas Yitzias HaNeshama, especially if a person lived a long and healthy life. The only way that that moment will be an actually devastating one, that Shas Achimum will be not only a Shas Achim, but a tremendous sense of anger, self-anger, if we didn't maximize the relationship. But if we maximize that relationship, then ultimately it could be a very, very holy moment, and at the same time it could be a process of one hand, a sense of loss, a sense of distance, but a sense of also that the Neshama has gone up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shmayim, that we should take that our relationships with our parents and with our wife, particularly our wife, her entire relationship with the man, her entire sense of being is so karuch, so dependent on the love and cherish that she's getting for her husband, that we could also maybe come close to be zocheh to say that there's nothing that we have to ask him for. What's the schedule? How much more is it?